I urge the Congress to pass my tax relief plan with the swiftness these uncertain times demand. I will now sign a letter of transmittal and soon hope I'll be signing the needed tax relief.
President Bush in the Rose Garden on Thursday sending his tax cut plan off to Congress. Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And with that signature went a $1.6 trillion proposal,
form of
gradual reduction of the five individual tax brackets, doubling of the tax credit for children, ending what's been called the marriage penalty, repeal of the estate and gift tax. What kind of reception awaits that?
Well, several. Among Democrats, obviously, they're being very wary. They're continuing to stress that this mainly helps high-income people, and they put on a show-and-tell to indicate that if you're rich, you get a Lexus. If you're poor, you get a muffler. The tactical position is that they have to first see the Bush budget, which isn't coming until February 28th, in order to see how this tax cut would fit in. They're somewhat worried about Democratic defections like Zell Miller of Georgia. Mm-hmm. President Bush apparently is trying to position himself between the Democrats who want a smaller and differently distributed tax and the Republicans who want a bigger tax by saying that $1.6 trillion is exactly the right amount. Although now that he says he supports a retroactive tax cut to stimulate the economy, then you probably have to add a few hundred billion to that. But what is emerging is how high a priority President Bush gives to the tax cut as a centerpiece of at least his early administration. And to make sure that government spending does get in the way of the tax cut by threatening a new deficit, he's now ordering cuts throughout the government almost everywhere except defense and education, and hearing some muffled screams of pain from all around the government, including the Justice Department is being asked to cut $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Well, help us understand what the president is doing to sell his tax cut. This is all part of that?
This is all part of that, yes. What he's doing is that every opportunity he gets, this was tax week, of course, and he used every opportunity he could get in order to stress that, and he doesn't give an inch, and he keeps saying, you know, they want more, they want less, but this is exactly the right amount.
Amid all the flurry of the tax plan, there were a number of notes that maybe even were called flubs. There was a suggestion at the White House offices on AIDS and race relations that were created under the Clinton administration would be closed. There was quick adverse reaction to that and then a turnaround. What happened?
Yeah, I think we saw an early trait of this administration. What happened with our chief of staff, Andy Kahr, said that the White House offices for AIDS and for race relations would be closed and their work would be handled elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether he simply misspoke or whether that was a plan, but either way, the response was interesting. It was like with Linda Chavez. They moved very, very swiftly and said, no, it's going to stay just as it is. They wanted to undo the damage. They decided before they puts the president off message. And I think that's the way they're going to be. If it's something that doesn't work, they'll go right back on it. They won't fool around with it the way President Clinton did, and it'll just undercut.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the election result in Israel this week was not a surprise. I guess last week I asked you, what looking back on it, what happened to make Ariel Sharon, who had once been regarded as a pariah, even in Israel, prime minister? And, of course, he won by a very comfortable margin this week.
62%. Do you know somebody told me that this 62% victory was a bigger edge than any American president has ever had?
Really?
I haven't looked it up, but yeah, that's how big it was.
Plenty big anyway, at any rate. Well, looking back on it now, Ehud Barak was once a very popular prime minister.
Right.
What went wrong? What went wrong with his personal appeal with that program?
What went wrong with Barak was Yasser Arafat. Mm-hmm. I mean, he simply cut the ground from under Barak by rejecting a proposal that went very, very far towards meeting Palestinian aspirations. And so when that happens, Israel goes the other way. They really were all for Barak when they thought he was able to bring peace. It was clear that there wasn't any chance of peace. There was violence. And so why Sharon? Because this tough-minded general is the opposite, the alternative for a disillusioned people, you know, and that is how it's going to be.
What do you think the chances are that Barak specifically will join this new government? I guess he's been invited to be defense minister by Ariel Sharon. Likud party, Ariel Sharon's party, has just a few seats in the Knesset. What's in it for right. labor.
And Shimon Peres, I understand, is being also offered the post of foreign minister. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether Barack or Peres will do it or not. Barack announced his retirement from politics, so he'd have to come back. The Labor Party is simply a house divided. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they have settled among themselves yet whether they want to participate in a coalition government or not. And if they can't make up their minds, or if they make up their minds the wrong way, I don't know whether either of these two people will regard it as a higher duty to be in the government mm-hmm. With Sharon and maybe try to hold him back. The answer to your question is I don't know.
Okay. Shimon Peres certainly has had quite a few jobs in government at this particular
yes, the prime minister, foreign minister, yes, and I think he'd like to be there.
The Bush administration does not seem to be, obviously for the moment, as intently and involved in the details of the Middle East peace proposals as the last five or six administrations. Is this to make a point?
Well, I'll tell you that President Bush has made clear he has no intention of getting as deeply involved in that mess as President Clinton did. Mm-hmm. And so other than routine appeals to Arafat and to Barak to get around to making peace, he seems content with watching the dust settle for a while. Secretary of State Colin Powell is planning a visit to the Middle East later this month, but emphasizing a regional rather than a mediating role. He's going to visit Arab states, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Kuwait, as well as Israel and as well as the West Bank. I do think, however, that Secretary Powell is probably more interested in getting some renewed pressure on Iraq than in trying to solve the almost unsolvable Israeli-Palestinian enigma. Mm-hmm.
President Bush said this week that he wants a top-to-bottom review of America's defenses.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be their guy.
Yes.
I can't imagine this is good for morale in the corner offices of the Pentagon.
I think the Joint Chiefs of Staff is now in a joint tizzy. They were looking for another Reagan who would boost defense spending mightily, even while cutting taxes mightily and damn the deficits. That's what they thought they heard coming from Mr. Bush during the campaign. So there's every reason for surprise when this conservative Republican says, hey, let's have a top-to-bottom review of whether the Pentagon needs these F-22 and all these other fancy new weapons that they seem to be so fascinated with. Missile defense is going to cost a lot of money, and he backs that. And for the rest, he has a guy named Andy Marshall, who is a very hard-nosed analyst, say, let me know, do we really have to spend all that money?
Let me ask you finally, we just can't seem to get Bill Clinton out of this week in review. This week, Eric Holder, former Deputy Attorney General under the Clinton Justice Department, told a House committee he would have tried to stop the pardon of Mark Rich if he'd known all the details. And Senator Arlen Specter says he wants to introduce a constitutional amendment that would give the Congress the power to overturn a presidential pardon, a tempest that does not seem to be dying.
The tempest isn't dying, but the teapot is missing from the White House. I'm sorry. It turns out the Clintons started shipping furniture a year ago, including items that the donors specifically said were meant for the White House. Pardons? Just follow the money. Mm-hmm. If you can get a correlation between a pardon and money that was given, you begin to understand it. The House committee has gone into that. It now looks as though the Senate Judiciary Committee will go into that. You know, President Ford made an unprecedented appearance before Congress in 1974 to explain about the Nixon pardon. I would not be surprised whether Mr. Clinton, out of office, will be asked to come and tell about his pardons.
Thank you very much, Dan Shore.